Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Wednesday, November 2nd. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast, where we're going to start the show by talking about baseball. Who wins tonight?
Got food plays.
White Sox. Brewers.
I know the White Sox aren't playing.
The White Sox are playing. Dave would be a great night's sleep.
I'm not going to let that happen again.
Are you going to stay up for the game tonight, Dave?
No.
They end really late. I mean, the games are really long. I'll give him that. But, all right, he says Cubs. I say, I'll do it last. Jamie, who do you think wins?
Indians.
Dave?
They're going to go Kluber, Miller, Allen. Going to be bad for
the Cubs. Could go pitcher.
They're going to go
Chapman, right?
They'll go Hendricks, Lester, Chapman.
Yeah, something like that.
Lester's ready.
They're going to go Maddox, Ferguson, Jenkins, Kerry Wood.
I'll take the Cubs because I picked them to win it.
Would love if Kerry Wood made an appearance.
I'd be rich.
We might get the two Cy Young Award winners going tonight. I don't think it's going to happen, but how amazing is that? I mean, you think about Kluber versus Hendricks in Game 7 of the World Series. This is like sports. This is basically
it
baseball.
This is a huge like sports history night, so I definitely appreciate it. I just wish the game started earlier. I'd be able to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys. I got
to
get 7 hours
of sleep.
If you
watch the whole thing, it would have to start at 4:30.
No. Honestly, like the games are way too long. These playoff games are taking 3.5 hours.
Cry me a river.
No, listen, I'm gonna be the old apron.
Just make Blue Apron twice. You'll be in good shape.
I'm gonna be the old grouch.
Doesn't work out that way for me.
Have you seen how long the 8 o'clock college football games take? They're like 4 hours long now.
I've never. I don't know the last time I watched an 8 o'clock college football game.
Best game of the week.
You're so whiny.
They're very long. I think sports has got to do something about this. The games are getting out of hand.
I watched an exhibition college basketball game last night, but I'm not watching a Thursday night college football game.
College basketball, the last sport that we can get done in 2.5 hours or less. Any interesting ad drops for you guys yesterday other than, well, first of all, I didn't really know how to prioritize West Hightower. Anton Smith. That's how
Jamie writes an article telling you.
Well, I think it depended on.
We had a big debate about it yesterday.
It depended on your team. Like obviously, if you own Spencer Ware, if you own Mark Ingram, then it was you know, or Doug Martin, whatever. It was probably different. But because we didn't know what the Spencer Ware status, Anton Smith has, I think, the best chance to start this week of the three. So I don't know. It was probably
funny is I thought that was true. And now I'm not sure he's going to quote unquote start for the Buccaneers.
I don't think he will.
Is there ever a team's game like this game? I keep screwing up. Who's on which side?
Oh, throughout, just because these running backs are new. Well, like I know Peyton Barber is a Buccaneer.
No, but also it's like Cutter was with the Falcons. Mike Smith was with the Bucks, or Mike Smith was with the Falcons.
You could almost combine these two teams together and make one pretty decent team that'll lose in the second round of the NFC playoffs. I think Barber could end up starting, but I think Anton Smith's the best running back. And
the way I approached it is there's uncertainty with all three of them to a degree. The one who has the best chance, it's the same thing I said yesterday. The one who has the best chance to win you a week, at least right now, is Charcandrick West. That could completely change come Wednesday or Thursday.
Yep.
But if West is the starter for the Chiefs at home against Jacksonville with the workload that he'll get, he could be a top 15.
He could be a 1 week savior for your
team. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, after the podcast and after FFT yesterday, a little birdie told me not to expect Spencer Ware.
Maybe it was Dirk Cutter who said they're going to.
No. Dirk Cutter doesn't play for the Chiefs.
A little birdie told you.
Oh, that. Well, I'm sorry.
That Ware isn't expected to play.
Okay.
Dave, talking to the birds a lot lately. Good stuff.
I have a couple of birds.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be smart not to play him or play Alex Smith and just get a week out with those guys being healthy.
But Alex Smith didn't have a concussion, so it's okay.
Yeah, but his ear's hurt.
Got to rest that ear.
Okay, well, Charcandrick West is the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues, followed by Tim Hightower, followed by Anton Smith, who played for the Falcons and had a weird season. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking he had like 5 touchdowns of 30 or more yards.
Well, it's a revenge game, too.
A revenge game. It's a revenge game for Mike Smith as well, the defensive coordinator of the Bucs. It didn't work out in week one.
They won.
Oh, I guess so. But they allowed a lot of points in the process.
They did.
So it's not like they shut down the Falcons.
It's not about personal success, Dave. Revenge is about victory.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So he had his way.
Okay. Well,
what the hell is Anton Smith, 2014. He was a top 10 running back for a spell, despite getting like five carries a game.
Yeah, well, Thursday night's game.
You can start him this week.
Is going to really test the when in doubt Thursday's out theory, because we should expect some pretty good offensive production. We will preview that today. We'll do some buy low, sell high. Obviously, Jamal Charles is on IR. We'll update you on all the news. Percy Harvin is back with the Bills. Interesting ad drop. Sammy Coates, 62% owned. I kind of forgot about him. I put in some bids for him. I lost him by, I think, like a dollar in one of my fab leagues. I picked him up in one league. What about Sammy Coates, guy? I mean, shouldn't we be picking him up? What do you guys think?
He should be owned for sure.
I don't mind having him ride the bench.
Right.
I'm not ready to put him in my lineup, but Roethlisberger looks like he's on his way
back. Do we even know for
sure
that he's going to play this week?
Who, Roethlisberger or Coates? No, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't missed games, right?
He re-aggravated his injury before the bye and left in the middle of the game.
Yeah, he left early.
And Mike Tomlin was talking up Eli Rogers at his press conference on Tuesday.
Well, there was a report prior to their bye week that he was in the doghouse with Mike Tomlin.
So Tomlin made it clear there is no doghouse.
They did make a switch, though. They benched Marcus Wheaton. They elevated Darius Heyward-Bey to a starter. Now, I think that has to do with Heyward-Bey as a receiver when you factor in his blocking is a better player than Marcus Wheaton.
And his speed, too.
Sure.
You're not starting him. Let's not.
Also, Marcus Wheaton sucks.
Right, but I think, you know, it just speaks to, like, where does Sammy Coates fit in when he's healthy? Is he the starter? Is he the third receiver? Is he the slot guy? Because Rodgers, I mean, you know, it's just.
He could just be a situational
receiver. Wait a second. Sammy Coates was an absolute must-add Martavis Bryant-light potential here. The clear second-best wide receiver on the team.
For sure.
And then Roethlisberger hurt.
There's nothing you're saying that's incorrect. It's just a matter of how will the Steelers use him and how healthy is he.
I'd like to take a shot on it at least.
Oh, you absolutely. There's nothing wrong with putting like
in your league where you have 22 bench spots. You can go ahead and stash him.
Are you kidding me? In a league where I have five bench spots.
I think five bench spots. He's a guy. If he does what he did at the start of the year with Roethlisberger, he could win you the playoffs.
But I guess the question would become. I think where Dave is kind of getting at is. If you only have five bench spots and Roethlisberger doesn't play this week, and with all the teams on a bye, there are a lot of teams that just can't afford to stash somebody like Coates because it's still a little volatile. He had a great stretch. Part of that great stretch was when Eli Rogers wasn't there. Now, what if Ladarius Green plays? How much does that take away from what Sammy Coates could potentially do? You know, what kind of health or where is Roethlisberger? Is he 100%? You know, because he still clearly needs to get the ball down the field. It's one thing for him to. You know, get these short area passes to
Antonio Brown. Can he drive the ball with his legs?
So I think there's still a lot of, you know, question marks around where Sammy Coates can start for you. Now, if you're just talking about you want to pick somebody up for maybe week 10, 11, 12, 13 to see what happens, and you do have the space, then absolutely you put him on your bench.
Okay, cool. Anything else, guys? I saw Sterling Shepard get picked up in a lot of leagues. I know he's been disappointing, but people obviously see potential there. Jamie dropped Matt Jones and Martellus Bennett as they enter their bye week.
I dropped Bennett in a league too.
Yeah.
Just didn't have a choice.
Right.
Yeah.
I dropped Jones. I have, it's a league where somehow I'm 7-1, with terrible running backs. It's Devontae Freeman and kind of just a shuffle. Jacquizz Rodgers. I was debating dropping Jacquizz Rodgers or dropping Matt Jones, and I still may make another move, before Thursday. But I have Rashad Jennings as one of my guys, and I figured let me just pick up Paul Perkins and drop Matt Jones. And just at least see what develops with that Giants backfield over the next couple weeks.
Rotating spot on your team that you keep using for.
Well, I mean, if Matt Jones was the guy, I would not drop Matt Jones. But
well, obviously.
Now right. Change.
Yeah. I've seen Hunter Henry dropped in a couple of weeks.
I did. No issue doing it either.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't looked into it enough. I want to know what's going
on. I still think he's playing more snaps percentage wise than Fleener is, isn't he?
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Yeah, Fleener only played 30% of snaps.
Fleener,
but 50 the week before that.
I mean, Fleener's droppable too. I think the snap count that matters the most to me with Henry is
Gates. Gates ran more routes last week.
Yeah, and that's going to be Rivers' guy, I think, more often than not. The one thing I think that might save Hunter Henry could be the Travis Benjamin injury because they'll still run more two tight end sets. And I think, you know, Dontrell Inman is somebody I tried to pick up in some deeper leagues, just to see if, in fact, Benjamin is out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to say Henry is dead meat yet.
The league where I dropped him, I have him and Eifert, and I'm not starting Henry this week. I'm clearly going to stick with Eifert.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up Pitta because I like Pitta much better than Henry this week.
Wow.
Okay, guys. Big news. Jamal Charles on IR, needs another operation on his knee. I just want to know, is there a lesson to be learned from this?
Don't draft aging running backs that are hurt.
I'm thinking about never drafting or recommending drafting a running back who's older than 28 ever again.
Okay. Well, in what round?
Well, I mean, like Frank Gore's kind of disproving that.
Right.
Matt Forte.
Sure.
He's having a fine year.
You guys can have him.
Adrian Peterson was great last year.
I know, but I feel like we fall for somebody every year that is older at the running back position. And I feel like we miss. And listen, Matt Forte, 2 weeks ago, we wouldn't have said that about him. We said, oh, a great start, and then he fell off.
I would
the last
say,
2 weeks, he's just grinded his way with volume.
I wouldn't say 28. I would say 28 coming off significant surgery, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
especially second time in his career.
But the suggestion is to just further make your running back pool shallower and just eliminate older running backs.
Well, it's hard to do that.
I hate calling guys that are 29 and 30 old, by the way.
It's just hard to do that because there aren't that many running backs to go around. But
we, not to go on a tangent, but we do our shows on Sunday with John Beeson, the retired linebacker from the Panthers and the Giants, and Pete Prisco, who's in his mid-50s. 56, mid-50s?
I think so.
He looks at John and he goes, how old are you, John? And John said 31, and John's recently retired. He goes, man, with all those years you played in the NFL, you're the oldest guy in the room.
Yeah. It takes a toll on you, no doubt. All right, well, I think when you look at like Sammy Watkins, you look at Jamal Charles, definitely some risk when you're taking guys who are injured, who are coming back from a serious surgery. It's just something to keep in mind. And
well, you've seen it. It's not just those two. I mean, Dez, think about him. He had to miss time. You know, who knows if it's a result of overcompensating for his foot. Julian Edelman hasn't been right, you know, just in terms of his production. You know, I mean, there are other factors in there. But, yeah, it's tough sometimes with these guys.
Do you guys care at all about Percy Harvin?
No.
Do you care at all about...
What are they doing? I don't understand.
They need a warm body with some speed.
There has to be other receivers out there. I can't think of guys who are cut in training camp. Or who just recently cut, that didn't retire, that can't stay on the field. I mean, what is he doing for them?
28 games in 4 years.
Is that bad?
Well, he should be good this week. They're playing Seattle, so, you know.
And then it's a bye.
It's
yeah. Star Percy Harvin. Big news, though. Trent Williams, left tackle for the Redskins, suspended 4 games for violating the substance abuse policy. They have a bye this week. And then... I would say that I would probably pick them to lose their next 4 games regardless of Trent Williams. Minnesota, Green Bay at home, at Dallas, at Arizona. But what is this?
There's two things at play there for you by saying they're going to lose the next 4 games. One, well, you said Minnesota.
Right. That's my team.
So that's 1-0.
And then obviously the Giants.
But they're not in there.
But they're a division rival.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're playing every side of this one.
Yeah. It's big. This is big news for me. But seriously, for Cousins, for the running backs, this is a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, I already didn't like really anybody in Washington except for maybe Reed and Crowder for the next month. This makes me like them less.
Okay. It's hard to know what these offensive line impacts will be, but he's a good left tackle and they're going to miss him. Now, we have talked about what to expect if you want a top 12 player at your position each week in standard scoring leagues. And we kind of said, you want about 22 fantasy points from your quarterback, unless there are a lot of buys, then obviously you're going to lower it a little bit. You want about 14 fantasy points from running backs and wide receivers to be top 12, about 8 fantasy points to be top 24, and that's in standard, and about 7 fantasy points for your tight ends, I think it was. I did the numbers in PPR. Obviously, quarterback stays the same. You still want about 22 fantasy points in a 6-point per passing touchdown league. For running backs, the average of the number 12 running back in PPR leagues through 8 weeks has been 17.5 fantasy points for number 12. For number 24, it's been 11 fantasy points. So that's what you're looking at in PPR. 17.5 to be number 12 and 11 to be number 24 at running back. Wide receiver, 20 fantasy points. That's a huge number. 20 fantasy points to be a top 12 wide receiver in PPR and 14.5 to be number 24. Tight ends, you're looking for 10 or 11. And DSTs, you know, this doesn't matter the format. Obviously, it's tough with DSTs because the scoring is so different in every league. But if you just use our CBS Sports standard scoring for DSTs, 8 fantasy points is actually a solid week for a DST, could usually get you around top 12. Okay, don't need much analysis there. Just wanted to give that out. The rest of the injuries, Ben Roethlisberger still uncertain. So, Jameis Winston, you have to start over Ben Roethlisberger this week as of now?
Easily,
yeah.
Okay. Dallas has two big secondary pieces, Barry Church, Morris Claiborne. They're expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. They have Josh McCown in Cleveland on the road this week. Well, hopefully Josh McCown. We'll talk about that. The Jets claimed Nile Davis and then fooled you. They dropped him for C.J. Spiller. Whatever. Tampa Bay is going to go.
That's a big reunion.
For Greg Roman?
Chan Gailey.
Dan Chan Gailey. Yeah.
Chan and C.J. together again.
2012. That was magic.
Tampa Bay is going RBBC, running back by committee. Julio Jones, just a bruised knee, so he's the number one wide receiver this week for all three of our analysts. Carlos Hyde, according to the San Jose Mercury News, he appears to be on track. So, do you expect the following players this week, guys? Spencer Ware.
No.
No.
Jerick McKinnon against Detroit.
No. No.
Not as of now.
Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery against the Colts.
Man, I hope so.
I think, for some reason, I think I feel better about Montgomery than I do Cobb.
Yeah. I put in for Jeff Janis in the deep league.
LeSean McCoy at Seattle.
No.
Steve Smith against Pittsburgh.
I think so. We haven't ranked him yet, but I think so.
Corey Coleman?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel better about Coleman than I do Smith. They both might play. You just got to see if they practice.
Talk about practice.
Practice.
Travis Benjamin. Travis Benjamin against Tennessee.
No.
Ladarius Green at Baltimore.
Not yet.
I wonder if they'll make them both active together.
Who, Roethlisberger and Green?
And Green, yeah. Like, I wonder. I guess put it this way: if Roethlisberger's out, do they activate Green, or do they just wait another week?
And Russell Shepard on Thursday night.
Didn't practice, so at this point, I would say no.
Yeah, I'd say no.
All right, we'll preview that game in a little bit. Let's do some buy low, sell high. I asked all three of you for 2 buy lows, 2 sell highs. Dave, you're my best friend. You're the only one who responded to the email. I don't know if Heath and Jamie have some names off the top of their head.
But... Oh, I've got. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to give my answers away.
I responded to you.
I see.
Jamie responded to you.
Yeah, I responded to you.
You did?
Yeah, I sent you an IM.
When?
Yesterday.
Didn't see it.
You sent the email. I sent you an IM. I told you I hate you. You said why? I said you're giving me more work to do.
Then you didn't give me any names.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't count. Well, Dave says...
I'm selling high on our friendship.
Ah, I gotcha.
Wow.
Dave says Brandon Marshall and Kelvin Benjamin are buy low candidates.
I just think... I'm worried that their name value and their name recognition might make their prices still a little too high. But if you can get them on the cheap, I think you should do it. I think both of them have some good games left in store. Marshall particularly. Once Quincy Enunwa catches on... in the eyes of opposing defenses, things are going to open up again for Marshall. And I think that could happen potentially as soon as this week at Miami. They got the Rams after that, then a bye. The only game coming up that I really just don't love for Brandon Marshall is going to be the games against New England. And unfortunately, one of those is week 16. But otherwise, he's got the Colts, he's got the Niners, he's got the Dolphins again. Good schedule ahead, and I think they're still going to pass a whole bunch. And so Brandon Marshall, to me, still has plenty of value. He's playing a ton, getting a lot of targets. Teams can't adjust. Like Cleveland last week double-teamed him. And that's why Quincy Enunwa had 11 targets.
Yeah, he's going to get double-teamed, but I'm sure he got double-teamed last year, too. He's just too good.
I don't know. Not with Eric Decker on the field. Remember, they had both those guys playing.
Yeah.
And defenses really couldn't take away both. And so now that Enunwa is starting to get established a little bit more, plus they're taking deep shots with Robbie Anderson, I think things will get a little easier for Brandon Marshall.
Jamie, do you have any actual buy lows? Our friendship is at an all-time low right now. I'd buy low.
Yeah, I would buy low on our friendship too.
Thank you.
So sad.
And then I would sell it in a minute.
You'd give it the Nile Davis treatment. Heath?
Yeah, I got nothing. I got sell high, but I'm buy low.
All right, Heath, how about you?
You know, I don't hate the idea of trying to buy low on Spencer Ware right now, especially with Bynado and people just maybe not having enough running backs this week.
But what are you offering?
Do you think anybody's selling him low after the Jamal Charles news, though?
I don't know. If I think you're still going to have to pay 3-5, 4-4 and can't lose this week, I would make an offer for him. And I think somebody I mentioned yesterday or Monday maybe is Antonio Brown. He's not like a dirt cheap buy low, but if there's people that are still worried about if Ben's going to come back 100%, he's attainable.
Right.
But, and he's not normally even attainable.
But that's fair to say that he's attainable. But I think now that Roethlisberger's name is in the news and he might come back, people who have Antonio Brown are going to hold out for, well, once Ben's back, you know, his numbers are going to pop.
I'd still buy low on Lamar Miller eventually scoring touchdowns.
I would say Cam's a good buy low candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. We talked about that on Monday. How about Latavius Murray? I'm looking at Dave's trade chart here, which is really cool. I'm looking at his story here. Latavius Murray and Doug Martin both have the same value on the trade chart, and they're, you know, fairly low. I don't know, probably around 20th or something at running back. What do you think about those two guys, Martin and Murray?
Not a lot of tough matchups left for Latavius. It's just a matter of, can the guy get 4 yards a carry? And if he doesn't, can you count on him to score? And with one game against Denver is in week 17, but two games left with Denver. They've got Carolina at home in week 12, at Kansas City in week 14, at San Diego in week 15. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point. I think he's an okay buy low. When we say buy low, we really mean don't give up a lot for him.
I think you missed the buy low window on him though, when he was hurt.
No, but I think it's a little higher. I think the window's still open.
Yeah, because
but then he had a 2-touchdown game, and so I mean, the way I would approach it, I have Murray in one league. I don't know if I'd give him up for not a fair offer at this point that I would consider to be something of.
Would you give him up for Allen Robinson? And I'm not saying I would do it. I think I'm on the Robinson side of this.
Yeah, I would absolutely do that for Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. But that's buying low on him.
Right. Well, then maybe that's the guy to buy low on.
Oh, for sure. Allen Robinson's a buy low candidate.
You know, let's talk about that for a second.
Blake Bortles getting his mechanics fixed. He brought in a specialist.
He brought in a specialist.
New offensive coordinator.
And I bet they go with a no.
Everything's on the up and up for Big Blake.
I bet they go to a no huddle approach with this offensive coordinator change. I think that's the one thing they can do. And it's the one thing that Nathaniel Hackett's done in the past. Is brought in this up-tempo approach, and it's worked, and he's been able to establish it quickly. He did it at Syracuse. Buffalo didn't work out so well. They had quarterback issues there, too. I'm not saying that Allen Robinson is dead meat. I think he's somebody that can help you out, and if you can buy low on him, that window is absolutely open.
I'm not saying he's dead meat, but I sent a couple tweets out about this yesterday. If I was coming into the Jacksonville situation and looking for a fix, the problem for Blake Bortles has been when he's thrown to Allen Robinson. He's been awful forcing the ball to Allen Robinson.
Yeah, but
like league average throwing to everybody else.
There's ways to fix that, though, which is move Allen Robinson around.
Yeah.
And so when you're just throwing to him on one side of the field, when he's not leaving that side of the field.
And Robinson's not
And on every third down.
Like,
and
Robinson's dropped 7 passes
all
this year.
The funny thing is Robinson not playing well, or did last year he just played exceptional?
Well, I'll tell you.
I think a little of both.
I think part of it is what Pete Prisco said on the Roughing the Passer podcast and what Phil Sims alluded to on the Thursday night game last week, and that is he is getting a lot more double teams. And, you know, Pete Prisco says he hasn't learned how to beat, he's not beating the double this year. And then Phil Sims didn't say it quite as strongly, but he did allude to that they are double-teaming him and it's affecting his production. So I don't know what that means. I mean, like I said,
they've got to establish somebody else.
I would love to know if they double-teamed him last year. I would think they did. He had a huge year, but maybe it's just more attention this year than Robinson got last year.
One last point on Latavius. He's got Denver this week and then a bye. So if you trade for him hoping for him to be your savior in the next couple of weeks, he's not.
Right. And I almost, as we transition to the sell highs, we have buy or sell coming up today, and one of the buy or sells was Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper finished the season as top 15 receivers. I'm going to buy that because they're both top 5 in standard right now and top 7 in PPR, but I do wonder if you could get a king's ransom for them because they have Denver, then a buy, and then Houston in their next 3 games, and Houston a little healthier now. They have a pretty good pass defense. I don't think that's like a terrible matchup for them. But maybe if you can get someone sort of equivalent, especially for Crabtree, considering he's a top 7 wide receiver.
But no one's going to give you value on Crabtree.
Well, I don't even know if I do this, but I do think that you could trade Crabtree for Allen Robinson.
I do too.
Yeah, I think you could, and I would do that.
You would or would not?
I think I would.
I think I would definitely do it for like Kelvin.
I'm not selling high on Cooper because, I mean, the guy's got 787 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. If anything, he might be better in the second half.
Yeah, it's just these next 3 weeks could be, well, one's a bye, one's Denver, right? You know, so That's tough.
I think the receiver you're selling high on is Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson?
He's not been Jordy Nelson of old. His fantasy production is almost completely propped up by, he's got a touchdown every five receptions so far this year.
He's just not getting as many catches as
he's on pace for
Alan Hearns from 2015.
He's on pace for like 65 catches, 900 yards, and 13 touchdowns.
I guess I'm just kind of stubborn. I want to believe in him. The fact that he had the one deep pass that he caught last week,
right,
put me at ease a little bit. Got caught
from behind like 5 yards later.
Well, yeah, but he was. There were two defenders there. You know, I mean,
but he's still a red zone target for them. And Aaron Rodgers certainly does not forget about him.
I don't think he'll be bad, but if somebody's like,
if you can get something great, like would you trade Jordy Nelson for Todd Gurley at this point?
I think that's close to fair, but I think Jordy's going to get more touchdowns than Gurley from this point on.
God, it's so bad for Gurley.
It really is. I was talking about it with one of our production managers here at the office, who walked in. He said, "Should have listened to you in a PPR league. I took Gurley over David Johnson." Because in PPR, I like Johnson better than Gurley.
All right, we got a buy or sell from Brian. Brian says, buy or sell Todd Gurley is a top 7 running back rest of season. Oh, I'm selling the heck out of that.
It doesn't mean he's not going to have good games.
Yeah, I'll sell it.
I don't love him the next 2 weeks, Carolina and at the Jets. Do you like him?
Yeah, that's going to be tough. And then he's got Miami after that.
That could be good.
Then things get, well, I don't know if that's going to be good or not.
Miami's been awful against the run.
All right.
New Orleans, New England. I guess you're right. I guess Miami is a good matchup for him, and it's at home. Then New Orleans, New England, and Atlanta.
Dave says sell high on Jonathan Stewart and sell Sharkhandrick West to the Spencer Ware owner. But why are we selling high on Jonathan Stewart?
Because he's had almost 20 carries each of his last two games. One of them was like 19, and the other's 25. And he had multiple touchdowns in each of his last two games. And Cam's going to start running a little bit more. We saw it last week, and I think he's going to continue to do that. And I think this is the sell high point for Jay Stu. If you've got him on your team and you don't have other running back options, then I don't think you should trade him away for nothing, but you might be flush at running back and Stewart could be on your team. He's a piece to trade away.
I just don't know what people are giving you. Like, I don't know if people are going to buy into the touchdown thing. And I kind of think there may be something to the fact that Cam's not running near the goal line as much because that's where he got his concussion.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting a lot in return for Stewart.
And
the theory is correct, but I don't think anybody's like all going, Stewart's, oh my God, I got to get Jonathan Stewart. Here's Allen Robinson.
I think you should try.
Oh, it's sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Any other names? Sell high, buy low.
Chris and Michael. Sell him right now.
Oh, quickly.
How come?
Because Thomas Rawls is going to come back. Schedule's getting tough. They're starting to use CJ ProSize more. And if he doesn't score, his numbers have been abysmal the last few weeks.
And the thing that...
you still get something for his name.
I did the most wrong on the whole Jamal Charles situation. Maybe the lesson I should have said that I learned was not listening to the people around that situation. And everybody that's around that Seattle situation is screaming Thomas Rawls is the number one when he comes back.
You're buying that?
I'm buying that Rawls will take away a significant piece of Michael's work.
Best case scenario for Michael, I think, is a timeshare once Rawls comes.
And their schedule just gets ugly.
Yes.
And so, you know, with the way that they're playing offensively right now, I mean, we keep waiting for this magic switch to flip like it happened with them last year. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. The things that you're looking at are just not saying, okay, this team's going to turn things around offensively. Now, there should be hope. I mean, there's still good players that are on the field. You know, if Russell Wilson's playing through his injuries, he's playing. Baldwin's suffering as a result of it. You know, Jimmy Graham had that nice two-game stretch or three-game stretch, whatever it was, but that hasn't, you know, carried over the last couple of weeks. And I think Michael should do well against Buffalo, which is a tired team going on the road, long trip before a bye week, but there's no guarantee. You know, Michael, I think this is kind of a prove-it game because if he plays well in a situation where he should play well, that'll buy him some time until Rawls gets back. But it sounds as if they're going to take their time with Rawls, but if you can get something significant in return for Christian Mike. I have a lot of shares of Christian Mike. I can't afford to sell him because what I'm going to have to sell him for is not going to be something that's going to start for me over the next couple games. But I don't like the situation that I'm in with Christian Michael because I think it's going to be a downward spiral relatively soon. And I had to drop Thomas Rawls last night, which really pissed me off, but I'm stuck with bye weeks and I can't afford to lose.
What league was that in?
My softball league.
Oh.
We're not in that one.
Crap. I dropped it for Kendall Wright.
The schedule is so bad for them in the playoffs.
If you had a little bit of depth at running back, would you trade Michael for where?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
you would.
Oh,
in a
absolutely.
Heartbeat. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think there's people that would take that deal if they had Ware.
You think so?
Especially if they needed a running back this
week. I would just buy Charcandrick West. Like, I used 50% of my fab on Charcandrick West in my Spencer Ware league, and I just feel like you get the Chiefs running back, you've got a guy that you're starting every single week.
But that's a different scenario. I think you're doing the right thing in that regard.
Yeah, I was only going to spend that much because I had Ware. All right, guys, listen, we'll get into Atlanta, Tampa Bay, buy or sell, some emails for you. But I checked my SeatGeek app this morning if you're interested. If you want tickets to Game 7 tonight, you just want to get in, upper deck seat, $1,300, no big deal. If you used our offer code, FFT, it'd be $1,280. So, you know, $20 back, that's good. But, okay, nobody's going to that game. But in all seriousness, if you do want tickets, you should know our listeners have really given me great feedback about SeatGeek. That's the truth. I get tweets, I get emails all the time about it. Thanks for the SeatGeek recommendation. I went to this game, it only cost me this much. And it's really a great offer from SeatGeek. Using the promo code FFT on the SeatGeek app, you get $20 back after your first purchase. Now, after you've used that code, you're still going to use SeatGeek because it's the best website or app for buying tickets. It makes your life easier by searching multiple sites, it shows you the results, and does all the price comparison for you, and that's how you save money. And our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first purchase with the promo code FFT on SeatGeek. So download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. All right, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, just tell me, generally speaking here, the first meeting, 31-24, both quarterbacks were great. Jameis threw 4 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 28 fantasy points. You don't have Tevin Coleman to take away from Devontae Freeman. And Mike Evans and Julio Jones are studs. Do you care at all that this game is on a Thursday?
I think it matters. I think it matters more for the defenses than anything else.
Has it been the same this year as in years past? Where the guys on Thursdays have struggled production-wise?
It's been a little different. It's been up, more up and down. We've had a couple of games.
I feel like it's been more up than it's been down compared to last year.
I'll
take last week's game as an example of that.
Last week's games, everybody was up.
Right.
Jets-Bills in week 2 was shocking.
Jets-Bills was
the Denver game. Who did they play again?
Chargers.
San Diego.
Yeah, that was the game that was a huge letdown for the wide receivers, you know, the Denver wide receivers. But I think you're right. I don't know if teams have figured out a way to adjust to it or if it's just fluky. But it hasn't really been so bad.
There's not a lot of travel in this one, you know, so it's the second meeting of the season. Is this the first time on a Thursday has been the second meeting?
Is that right? Didn't know that.
No, I'm asking. Yeah. I'm assuming so.
Yes. Almost okay. Positive.
So there's a familiarity there. And you kind of laid it out. I mean, there's obviously the chance of a struggling performance from one of the guys we're counting on. But, you know, you look at Ryan in this matchup after what Derek Carr just did to them, you know, he's been fluky. Like, when we thought he was going to play well, he's struggled. And when we thought he was going to struggle, he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get away from Ryan. I don't think anybody is.
I don't think anybody can either, but he's never had 20 fantasy points in 6 career games at Tampa.
Ooh, wow.
Does that mean anything?
Not after what Derek Carr just did to them.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think the matchup is more important than history, obviously. Yeah. And not only, Derek Carr did it in basically 4 3/4 quarters.
Yeah, but he was good in
It doesn't matter. Yeah, the point isn't that, you know, Derek Carr had extra time. The point is that that Bucs defense is tired
yeah.
on top of right. being stinky.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think Matt Ryan should be safe. Hopefully Julio's knee doesn't cause him to struggle, but Mohamed Sanu is definitely a good sleeper for the game.
Yeah, he's played well 2 of the last 3 games when he's been featured,
mm-hmm.
and he had a good game against
right.
him the first time.
He should be featured in this game. And Devontae Freeman's going to do his thing. I think the running backs do well in this game.
I hope he's right. You know, he was dealing with a hip pointer going into last week and didn't get a lot of carries in what should have been a great game for him.
Well, we'll keep it simple. Matt Ryan is a top 4 quarterback. So, you know, there aren't that many. Who would you start over Matt Ryan?
Rodgers. Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rodgers and Breeze.
McCown.
Maybe Luck.
No, I'm just kidding about McCown.
I think I'd start.
I like Rivers.
Ryan and Breeze is interesting. I feel like I'd start Ryan over Breeze.
I'd start Ryan over Breeze.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, they both have good situations.
Yeah.
Both on the road.
Doesn't matter. You're starting him. Jameis Winston is 7th for Jamie, 7th for Heath, 14th for Dave.
Wow.
A little low on Winston.
Yeah, a little nervous about him having a big game. Short week definitely plays into it. Lack of targets beyond Mike Evans plays into it.
Okay. Well, Dave actually has Derek Carr facing Denver one spot ahead of Jameis.
Wow.
Obviously, Heath and Jamie like Jameis better. Jameis or Stafford, guys?
Easy. Jameis.
Jameis, easy.
I'll take Stafford.
All right. So just Dave's a little cautious with Jameis Winston. And then Freeman, it's hard to get away from Freeman. He's top eight in standard. He's top five in PPR. Julio and Evans, you're starting. So who's a better flex, Mohamed Sanu or Anton Smith?
Ooh.
I'd take Smith standard, Sanu PPR.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I think Smith might be better than both.
Would you start Smith or Theo Riddick?
Riddick.
Riddick, definitely in PPR.
Smith standard, Riddick PPR.
Yeah, I think I go with Smith in non-PPR.
Would you start Anton Smith or Latavius Murray?
Latavius.
Murray. That's close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Denver run defense. A little dicey. I guess I'll just ask this because he's facing the Jets, but Anton Smith or Jay Ajayi?
Ajayi.
Oh, I'm not benching Jay Ajayi. He's top five running backs.
Anton Smith or Tim Hightower?
Smith.
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 Okay, that one's close, though.
It's very close.
Looking at your rankings. All right, so Smith is a number two running back this week, and if you have to choose between like Randall Cobb and Anton Smith, you know, you're going to have to probably go with the running back, but we'll check in on that one tomorrow. Would you start Mohamed Sanu or Matt Asiata?
Asiata.
Asiata standard, Sanu PPR.
PPR league, Sanu or Todd Gurley?
Gurley.
I'll go Sanu.
Yeah, Sanu.
Woo! All right,
and I'm going to move Jameis up.
Give me your expectations. Here's the problem with Sanu.
I'm just looking at it, and the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? Screw this.
Oh, we're moving Jameis up. Okay.
Jameis is moving up in the rankings as we speak.
Where
what
to?
What didn't you like about him?
I don't trust the Thursday games more than anything, but you look at what he did in week one, and you look how most quarterbacks have done against Atlanta. Forget it. He'll be fine.
All right. Are you going to move him ahead of Stafford?
Keep going. Keep going, Dave.
You think I should move him ahead of Stafford?
Yes.
No.
And McCown.
Nope.
So where'd you move him to?
11. Ahead of Eli, ahead of Carr.
He's got him as a starter
ahead
now.
Of Tannehill. He's in my top 12.
Okay. 11 it is.
And let me tell you, I feel super confident about it.
Now, yeah, I can tell. Now, you know what 11 reminds me of, guys? Stranger Things, of course. Stranger Things. One day you three will watch
it. Oh, that's nice. They renewed their sponsorship with you.
Yeah. We re-upped. Big cash influx here on the show.
Nice.
The tight ends are interesting.
I saw you bought a second Indochino suit.
Yeah. I could just keep making bets about DeAndre Hopkins. Cameron Brate or Austin Hooper. Who do you like?
Brate.
Hooper.
Brate. I mean, think about what tight ends have done against the Falcons, including what Tampa Bay did against them in week one.
Yeah, Falcons. Yeah. Falcons have actually, Atlanta, Tampa Bay in week one, two tight ends caught a touchdown for Tampa Bay. Neither of them were Cameron Brate, but don't have to worry about that right now.
Right. And if Shepard's out, I like Brate even more.
All right.
I think they're both touchdown dependent. It's not like Tampa Bay's matchup is tougher than Atlanta's matchup. And I think Hooper's going to get a lot more playing time.
Would you start your favorite tight end in this game over Kyle Rudolph?
No.
I'd go Rudolph.
No, but it's close to Brate.
Over Eric Ebron?
Yeah, I'd go Brate.
Yeah, I think I'd go Brate in standard, maybe Ebron and PPR.
Yes,
I'd go Ebron in both.
Cameron Brate or Kobe Fleener?
Brate.
All right. Doesn't he say that in Jaws? Hooper! He says Hooper like a million times in Jaws. How's my impression of Quinn? Hooper! All right, fine. Yeah.
Can you sing it?
Show me the way to go home. I can sing that. Falcons DST. Is 13th for Jamie, 9th for Dave, 20th for Heath. They have 14 sacks in their last four games, but they do allow second most points per game in the NFL. Only Cleveland allows more. So, Heath, 20th for the Falcons?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I made my case for them yesterday. A lot of sacks, and I think maybe a sloppy game. Should be a fun one, though. Not as fun as tonight, but should be fun. Actually, how many good games have we had in the World Series?
I don't know. I haven't watched any of them.
Not that many, right? I think game two is good.
I, I think two was good. Wasn't three? Well, not the one that Kluber pitched in Chicago, but the other one in Chicago, right? Not five.
The one where Chapman got the 8-out save was pretty good. All right. Well, tonight should be good.
His arm's gonna fall off.
Dude, let me tell you something about Aroldis Chapman, because when he got traded to the Yankees, I read a lot of stories on him. He apparently, according to legend, beat Billy Hamilton in a race. He was the fastest player on the team, on the Reds. He, and Alex Rodriguez was talking about it too. He is possibly the most physically gifted player in baseball. Unbelievable. Buy or sell? Buy or sell from mid-major Matt. Josh McCown, top 10 quarterback this week if he starts against Dallas.
You know me, I'm buying it. I think the matchup is getting better for him. I would especially like it if Corey Coleman plays, and I think the Browns will let him throw frequently and deep.
I've been trying really hard to come to grips with this because I'm by far the low man on McCown and the Browns offense, and I like the Cowboys as a streamer, even with the two guys hurt. Like, I feel like the greatest asset the Cowboys defense has is the fact that their offense controls the ball and plays so slow that the other team doesn't get to run near as many plays as they normally do.
Uh-huh.
And that's not, I don't see how that changes in this game. Ezekiel Elliott's going to be able to get whatever he wants. Alfred Morris will get whatever he wants. They're not going to speed things up against the Browns because they don't have any reason to. And it's not like, if anybody has the depth to absorb a loss at cornerback, it's probably the Cowboys.
Not safety, though.
Yeah, but maybe they got a little trouble with safety.
Hurt both.
So we're worried about McCown beating them over the top repeatedly?
I think the thing is, and we've seen this from them, is like last week, Philly was ahead, even though that's their I agree with their game script is dominate time.
I mean, they haven't given up more than 23 points in a game all year.
No, but they were trailing against Philly. They were trailing against San Francisco. That was on the road, too.
Yeah.
You know, so I still think there's a chance for, even though Cleveland's not going to run a lot of plays by comparison,
yeah,
there'll still be an opportunity to it. And I'm not as gung-ho on McCown as Dave is, but he'll go into my top 12 if he's guaranteed to start. My hesitation is, and this is what was with the waiver wire column too, is he's not guaranteed to start. Our projections don't even have him starting. We have Cody Kessler projected to be the starter. So there's uncertainty from Cleveland to, you know, people that evaluate this, and our projections are an independent, you know, process. So I think if you're approaching it, like I picked up Josh McCown, I think, in one league. I tried to. Maybe our two quarterback league. I don't know if I got him. I think you may have got him. Or it was a super flex. In any event, I think there's a shot for McCown here. It's just a matter of who you're comparing it to. Like, I'm not taking the chance of starting McCown, waiting for McCown over Jameis Winston.
Unless you know for sure.
There's no chance. Unless I know for sure. But even if I know for sure, I'm still starting Winston. I think there's much higher ceiling with Winston because of McCown. If he struggles, do they pull him? Because of Kessler being ready. Because he did throw two interceptions in that game and nearly cost them when they were playing well early in that game.
Really? You think they'd pull him for Kessler?
Yes, because Kessler
if it's a blowout loss, you could definitely see them doing
Kessler,
that.
If McCown goes out and throws a pick, because look, he played great fantasy-wise last week in 24 points, he threw two interceptions in that game.
Yeah.
And so if he goes out and throws an early interception and they're down 10, 17, 20 in the first half, which to what Heath was talking about could easily be the case, McCown's getting yanked.
Okay. All right. Next up from Matthew, buy or sell Paul Perkins, top 24 running back rest of season.
Man, I hope so, because I'm buying.
Nice fake Twitter account, Adam. sell.
Okay, I'm not ready to buy into that yet. I don't mind stashing him, but I just think the Giants are a team that will use multiple running backs no matter what.
McAdoo just comes across as stubborn.
Well, I don't know. I see Jay Ajayi comparisons. There's no way if Paul Perkins can seize the starting job, there's no way he can be as good as Jay Ajayi, in my opinion. But just so obvious that the change needs to be made. And I think one more bad game. This is it. Rashad Jennings, this is his last stand. I don't think he's going to do well against Philadelphia.
Does Perkins understand how to pass protect yet?
You know, I'm not sure. They've put him in there in some pass protect situations. I'm thinking hopefully during the bye week he picks up the playbook better and does that better. But
they must feel better about it than it comes across on the field because they keep doing it.
Yeah.
So they must see in practice that he's doing the right thing. He just may not be able to pick up where the guy is coming from or be able to throw his body in front of someone. So, but I would imagine though, if they turn the reins over to him, then he's not playing on as many passing downs and maybe,
sure,
you know, Rainey's in that spot. So,
yeah. And Paul Perkins is owned in 17% of leagues. So still a good stash. From Rick Whip 2. James White will remain a viable flex / RB2. After the deadline for Deion Lewis to return, which is November 17th. James White, buy or sell, still a flex or an RB2?
I think everybody's expecting us to say sell on this one. And I completely get it. If Deion Lewis is back and he looks as good as he did last year, there's no comparison between who's the better player. And it makes for a three-headed monster running back for New England.
I don't think it's three heads.
You think they just put White back on the bench?
Yeah.
It's going to be, it's totally dependent on Lewis's health and ability, which the Patriots are evaluating now.
He'll come in and have a drive or two or a series, you know, in terms of White.
But
I don't think he gets
like this. Does this go back to what we just talked about with Jamal Charles, though? Like expecting Deion Lewis to just come back after
well,
this
sure,
operation
but it,
and
it's obviously player dependent. That's
right.
Why you can't totally buy in, but it looks like he's making his way back. They've had him practicing now for a week. They're going to get another week out of him during the bye.
Yeah.
They're evaluating.
I'll give you an example. It's the one league where Adam's not in with us because he's picked up Deion Lewis everywhere to you know, stash at this point. I dropped Jared McKinnon to speculate on Deion Lewis. So at this point, I'll take my chances that Deion Lewis will be better in his situation than McKinnon will in his.
Yeah. Part of the reason I own so much Deion Lewis is because I own a lot of James White. I remember we were saying this a lot when Brady was on his way back. Don't drop James White because we figured he'd be a much bigger part of the offense with Brady back, and he has been. However, he has 4 touches in his last 2 games. So that's not very inspiring. But
it's kind of tough.
Are we counting the balls that he touched but didn't actually catch?
No.
Okay, because he touched those.
Right.
Well, he keeps doing that, and he's going to lose his job. So
are we calling him a touchdown-dependent passing downs back? Because that's
well, yeah,
rare.
That's kind of what Deion Lewis was, too.
No, but Lewis would at least get carries.
Buy or sell from Jordan Pilgrim. Gilmore Girls is a better watch than Stranger Things.
I would have to sell that.
Yeah, I would hope so. Let's sell that.
Mm-hmm. Never seen either one.
Let's see. Let's skip around here. We talked about Kristen Michael. John Camburn. Excuse me. Buy or sell. Doug Martin coming back being a top 12 running back before Fantasy Week 13.
Buy.
Sell, but not because he won't be back. I just don't know how great he will be.
Man, I was thinking without Charles Sims, he's going to be huge. What do you think?
Yeah, but the fact that he had a setback on top of the injury in the first place. Yeah.
We're giving him another 4
gotta
weeks.
Got to make
though.
You nervous.
I just wonder. This was my fear with him. Got paid, nicked up.
And we've seen it in all the years where he's been injured. He's either injured or he plays well. It's one or
right.
the other.
And I wonder, didn't he have a hand injury last year, right? Was that last year or 2 years ago? He played through?
Not sure.
I don't
Might
remember.
Have been last year.
Yeah.
Money's
all
on
right.
the line. Guys are different.
John Robinson.
Just ask Eddie Lacy and Michael Floyd.
Buy or sell, Ladarius Green, who is 12% owned, becomes a must-own tight end this week.
I say sell.
Sell.
All right.
Sell, but if we find out he's practicing, it's very enticing.
I think
Roethlisberger plays.
Baltimore defense is a little bit underrated.
Yeah, they're good against tight ends to begin with.
Well, they get both Mosley and Suggs back this week, and they've been pretty decent without them.
I mean, don't you look at that Week 11 game against Cleveland and kind of salivate when it comes to the Steelers? Like, that's the game where they can just do whatever they want and try new things on offense. And
then why not own him now?
Yeah, so here's
Why
the
not
thing.
What?
Here's the
you
thing.
You can add him now
Green.
And sit him for 2 weeks, but you might end up cutting
him. No. You don't have to sit him for 2 weeks. You sit him this week because Baltimore allows the second fewest fantasy points to tight ends. Dallas, Cleveland, and Indianapolis are all in the bottom 8 in fantasy points allowed to tight ends. Those are 3 good matchups in a row. And we were expecting him to be, if he had not gotten injured, if he had been fine, started week 1, training camp, everything fine.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Green was not a guy you were sitting because of a bad matchup. So, I've argued with you guys about this for a couple weeks now, and I just don't understand how he's 12% owned.
I agree. I wish I had the spot to stash him in some leagues, but it's hard when you need somebody guaranteed to play this week. I'll say this. In one league, I picked up Hooper because I'm stuck and there's no tight ends and I have Eifert. If you tell me that Green's going to play come Thursday afternoon, bye-bye Hooper. I'll go take my chances with Green.
Okay. Buy or sell from James. The Vikings are struggling because of Adam Azer.
100%.
Yeah.
That's a buy.
That's a
Easy.
Buy. From Paul, Tyreek Hill is the best Chiefs wide receiver rest of season, buy or sell.
They like him.
Yeah, they do.
They definitely want to get him involved. I just don't know if he's got volume.
He doesn't have the quarterback to get him involved when the normal guy is starting.
So if Nick Foles comes
he's
in
pretty good on screen
rest
passes.
Of the way.
Are we buying or selling?
Sell. I think you have to sell. Do they have a great wide receiver?
They don't have a great one, no, but he won't be as good as Macklin.
Will he score more fantasy points the rest of the year than Macklin?
Do they have the same amount of touchdowns, or does he'll have more?
I think Macklin has two.
I think they both have two. I
think he has three.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Hill does have three.
Wow.
Can we buy this and then just not start any Chiefs wide receivers? Because I think that's the way to go.
All right. Yeah, Hill has four touchdowns. Four. Wow. So next up, we have Tim. Tim Hightower leads the Saints in running back snaps rest of season.
Sell.
Okay.
I want to say sell.
I want to say sell, too. I'll buy it.
Really?
Ooh. You think this is it for Mark Ingram?
I don't think it's it.
If so, then this is the buy low time for Hightower.
I don't know if that's true.
If he's going to have the most snaps of any Saints running back the rest of the season?
Everybody's picking up anyway. So I don't know if you're buying low on him.
No, you pick him up. If somebody picks him up in your league, you trade for him. You're saying that he's going to be the best Saints running back the rest of the way, or at least the most snaps. That would make me think that he's got the most potential.
Here's what's going to happen. They are going to wait until the Jets cut C.J. Spiller and then get him.
And he'll lead them in reception.
But they'll get Niall Davis in the meantime.
All right, last buy or sell from Yogan. Buy or sell Sour Patches are good candy.
This is my fault.
Why?
I was trashing Towers and Sour Patch Kids on Halloween. They're
an interesting Halloween candy. I don't know about that. But.
They are the dill pickles of candy.
So mean to dill pickles.
Dude, I was so embarrassed. This must have been like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago when I was living in Florida. And my mom, we don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters at my parents' house anymore.
Well, because they probably all know your dad.
What do you mean?
They don't want bananas with candy. That's why they're not
your
going to
your house. Angry man.
My dad is not an angry man.
Yes, the one experience I had with him, he was.
He was angry?
Yeah, he was just a little ornery.
He's quiet. My dad is quiet. He's not angry. I'm angry. She got Halloween candy. She gave out pretzels.
Oh, that's bad.
That is such a party foul. You cannot give out pretzels.
Did your house get egged?
I would rather get a package of pretzels than Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids. I will buy Sour Patch Kids as a good candy. Dave, Jamie?
No. They're a candy.
All right. Let's finish off with some more listener questions, emails, and tweets here. Peyton wants to know if you'd rather have Bilal Powell or Sharkandrick West if you own both Ware and Forte.
I'd rather have West.
Much rather have West.
Yes, yeah. West.
Chris wants to know if he should drop James White for Jordan Howard.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now.
Matt wants you to rank these three in PPR rest of season. Snead, Fuller, Anunwa.
I'm going to go...
Snead, Anunwa, Fuller.
Yeah.
It's definitely Snead first.
And it's got to be Fuller last.
I think the other two could be pretty close.
I don't think so. I think Anunwa's been playing pretty well.
Corey from the best city east of the Mississippi.
Best city
New Orleans?
East of the Mississippi.
Is New Orleans east of the Mississippi? I think it is.
New York City?
Let's go New York City.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. Corey says, hey, Ned, Maud, Rod, and Todd. Those are the Flanders. I have Tom Brady, and I have Tyler Eifert. So, who do you recommend this week? Eli Manning, Josh McCown, Kaepernick, Tannehill. Those four quarterbacks. Manning, McCown, Kaepernick, or Tannehill.
For me, it's McCown.
Say it again, Manning, McCown, who?
Kaepernick and Tannehill.
I'll take Manning.
Yeah, I'll go Manning. Kaepernick's right there.
And for the tight end, Julius Thomas, Cameron Brate, or Hooper?
Brate.
Hooper.
Brate. Not close.
You don't like Julius Thomas this week?
No. Against Kansas City?
No.
Have we not had this conversation enough?
Right. From Quincy. 10-team, where's Quincy from, Dave?
Panama City Beach, Florida.
10-team standard, should I drop Willie Snead for Darren Sproles? In a standard scoring league, he has Jordy, Diggs, Moncrief, but he also has Bell, Kristen Michael, and Ware. So would you rather have Snead or Sproles?
Snead.
I don't think he's desperate enough to need Sproles.
I would drop Diggs before I drop Snead.
In PPR? In standard?
Yes.
Diggs gets the Lions this week, though. You want to start him.
Yeah, but if Sproles can come close to the touches that he's had.
But you want to talk about uncertain situations. I think the Eagles like him the best, but I think they're worried about usage.
I would keep Diggs and Snead.
I would drop Corey Coleman.
I just keep Diggs and Snead.
He has Corey Coleman.
Oh yeah, drop Corey Coleman.
Yeah, I forgot to. He didn't include that until later. But guys, I gotta tell you, I really don't like Willie Snead that much in standard scoring leagues. Like he just doesn't score enough touchdowns. He hasn't scored since week two. I think we're overrating him a little bit.
Sure. I like that he led the team in targets last week, but again, that points more to PPR and having him as a safe PPR fantasy player.
I think he leads the team in yards per pass attempt as well, which would tell me he's probably going to score more touchdowns.
Maybe,
but he doesn't.
I wonder where he was with that last year when he scored three.
Yeah, he's the profile as a touchdown guy, like Jarvis Landry. You know, just not.
Yeah,
good.
But like Jarvis Landry, it makes sense because he's not good on a yards per pass attempt basis.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to see where he was last year. We can move on.
Harp from Vancouver, Canada. Since you guys are the team name experts, is one allowed to use a team name that features the name of a player he or she does not have?
It's your team. You can name it whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
This is America. I think Canada.
It's a sliding scale. It must be a really good team name to do that.
Yeah, agreed. All right, from Matt. Where's Matt from?
Matt's from Fort Worth, Texas.
Could I get some agreement that it's frustrating when you can't find any practice information on players you have, such as Coleman and Steve Smith? I feel like I need to fly out there and get my eyes on them. I would love to see that on the league if it hasn't been done already. And I will amend this question to ask you guys the best way for our fantasy owners to get practice information.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming this question was asked at some point over the last couple of days. Practice reports don't come out until Wednesday, so we don't even know. You know, we can only speculate on it, especially like, even the teams coming off a bye week, they have a, generally like a team meeting or a walkthrough on Monday. It's not an official practice, but they do release some practice information to the reporters. So you're just stuck waiting. I mean, we're in the same boat. You know, like
yeah.
You ask us every day, Adam, do you expect? All we're doing is speculating. You're yeah. like, we think Corey Coleman's going to play. We think Steve Smith's going to play. San Francisco is in the situation. They're coming off their bye week and Carlos Hyde was on the field in a non-contact jersey. So that's all we can only report what we know. And really the reporters around the team can only report what they get.
And some reporters can watch these practices and some can't. Right. And I almost wonder if this question was born out of what happened with the Packers receivers, because those guys were limited all week. And then,
no, I think it's related to the guys that he's talking about, which again, we don't know. We don't know what Roethlisberger's able to do or not. We mm-hmm. don't know what Steve Smith's going to do or not.
But it's the same thing with the Packers guys. Like, you'd think you'd have a pretty decent idea if you were able to watch these practices. Well, the Packers can call a guy limited, but does that just mean he's dressed for practice and jogging on the sideline? Or does that mean he's, you know, doing 7-on-7 drills, but not team drills?
Like, but we used to, you know, first of all, nobody gets listed as probable anymore. So that hurts. But also, if a guy practices in full, we think he's going to play. If he's limited in practice on Thursday and Friday, I feel like you guys typically think he's going to play.
Yes.
Fair? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Adam, what you're not privy to is the three of us have ongoing conversations in the office via text, via email, put this guy in, put this guy out, you know, with our rankings.
Right.
You know, we're all trying to be on the same page and giving that information out to our, you know, users.
I will say, like, it doesn't say what this person's already doing to try to get information. So, at the very least, you could follow beat writers on Twitter, and you'll get more information than you're getting if you're not doing that.
Yeah. All right, one more here, or two more. Peter from Baltimore, better start at a flex this week, Frank Gore or Antonio Gates?
Gore.
Gore. He's mm-hmm. just been good. I mean, you know, last week was ugly for him, but he catches the touchdown, so.
This is going to be ugly probably this week, too.
Yeah.
Bad
I mean,
matchup.
They'll muck it up for him, but.
I want you to know something, just so everybody out there knows. When Frank Gore catches a touchdown pass from Andrew Luck, I am elated. That is so huge for me.
You hated Gore this year. So
I know.
Funny.
I own him in one league, and he's been reliable, and I was wrong. I was wrong. You guys nailed it. I don't think he's been all that good, but I think you nailed it in terms of his opportunity. But Luck is so big. When he throws that touchdown to Frank Gore, it's like I go out for ice cream. I am so happy.
The one thing that that Luck has been consistent in throughout his career, throwing touchdowns to his running backs and leaning on his tight ends. It's just consistent year after year after year.
Yeah. All right, that's it for today's show. Good show, everybody. Let's go, Cubs. Sure, why not?
God, congratulations, Cleveland.
For Dave, JB, and Heath, I'm Adam. Start or sit AFC home games tomorrow.
Bye.